Well, today is Palm Sunday, and I was thinking last night, I was in here last night praying and going over the sermon, I was thinking about all the churches today and the pastors who normally would see a congregation of people. We would normally see the children waving the palm branches in the air. We would normally sing those songs of rejoicing and the fact that our Lord and Savior came into Jerusalem, not just as just a fellow traveler, but he came in riding a donkey, not as a soldier after a war victory, but as a servant, as the Son of God. And I was thinking, how sad it is that we've come to this day and there doesn't seem to be that kind of rejoicing, that kind of exuberance that we normally see on Palm Sunday. So my first thought is for my fellow pastors and for the congregations in which they serve. I heard a story about an Episcopal priest who was preaching at an unfamiliar church one Sunday morning. He stood at the pulpit and began the service. He tapped on the microphone to make sure it was working, and it was, but he heard nothing. He even thought, is this working fine? So he leaned closer to the microphone and said, he thought to himself, there's something wrong with this thing. The congregation, being well-trained people, immediately responded, and also with you. I think that story illustrates the dangers of the familiar. I think we are steeped in a routine in life. One of my greatest fears during this time is that, you know, we're able to reach a lot more people by doing this on the internet, but my fear is that when we are able to come back together, that people will have lost that routine of coming to church, that they would get too comfortable staying home and watching it on their computers. I hope that that is an ill-found worry, but that is a concern for a lot of us as pastors today. It's like if you go down the same road every day to go to work or wherever you're going each day, and you go down the same road there and back, you get so used to that road, and it's dangerous because we stop being alert. We take things for granted. We figure we can drive this route with our eyes closed. And if something different did happen on the road, we may not notice it at all, and at least maybe not until it's too late. A husband and wife can take for granted each other and the things that the spouse does that's wonderful and positive and exciting. Parents become so used to having their child filling their life with joy that they do not appreciate their child until they are away. The same is certainly true about living in a small town. I grew up in a small town, a little bit larger than Astoria. But I used to hear people say, boy, it's smothering to live in a small town, all the while not being appreciative of the good things that a small town brings. Personally, I like the small towns. It's amazing how wonderful living in a small town can be. You don't get jilted by all the stuff that's going on around you. Everything is just where it's supposed to be. Growing up in Pendleton, Oregon, as a child, I thought it was the best place to live. We got to see all the seasons. And except for 4 days out of the year, it was the best place to be. He didn't want to be there during Roundup. But there's also a danger I think we face when it comes to the Easter season. The accounts of the triumphant entry, the cross, and Easter are so familiar to most of us that we can easily go through the motions of the celebration without really allowing the message to take place in our heart. And I think most of us here today that are here in the sanctuary, and for those of you who are watching online, you've probably heard probably every Easter message there was ever to be read. You probably read every, you probably heard every sermon preached on each of the sections of the gospel where the triumphant entry into Jerusalem was read. You've probably heard it all. And so you're probably thinking today, boy, not another one. Oh, another one. And there's a phrase that we like to use as pastors when we're talking about a familiar verse, and we say we need to look at it with fresh eyes, right? We need to look at it with a different perspective. So that's what I want to try to do today, is to look at the story of Palm Sunday from a different perspective. First of all, this event was out of character for Jesus. Now, previous to this, Jesus had always avoided the spotlight. We read the wonderful story in John chapter 2 where Jesus goes with his mother and his disciples, I believe, are with him. And they're going, they've been invited to this wedding, right? And they get to the wedding and a terrible thing happens, right? They run out of wine. And so Mary, Jesus' mother, goes up to Jesus and say, look, you need to take care of this, son. You know, you need to take care of this. And it's probably that, you know, I just can imagine, you know, if in Jesus in his humanness would probably go, oh, mom, come on, man. It's not, you know. But Jesus' response to his mother was, my time has not yet come. Of course, she keeps pushing him, and he does turn the water into wine. And then in chapter 6 of the Gospel of John, we see an occasion when Jesus felt that the people were ready to take him and make him king by force. So rather than enjoy public acclaim, what did Jesus do? He left town. In fact, whenever the ministry of Jesus seemed to be getting to a point of success in a community, Jesus would move to a new community. He didn't want it to be about him. He didn't want to draw attention to him. Remember several occasions Jesus tells those that he healed. What did he tell them? Do not tell anyone. Of course, they did. Jesus was not looking for public demonstrations on his behalf. He wasn't seeking the spotlight. That is, until this day. We also can notice also in the past, though Jesus never would compromise the truth, he generally walked away from conflict situations. He didn't want to draw attention to himself. So it's important for us to understand that this whole Palm Sunday thing was so out of character for Jesus. Then the second part of this is that Palm Sunday, this event of going into Jerusalem, was organized by Jesus himself. In the Gospel of Luke, this account, we are told that Jesus had arranged to use a donkey. He was told the disciples to go into town, they would find a donkey, that the owners of the donkey would be standing there. And if they were to ask why they were untying the donkey and taking it, that they would just simply say, the master has need of him. It's apparent that Jesus had made this arrangement earlier to use the donkey. And in those days, usually, because donkeys were a sign of, you know, that you had some wealth to a certain degree. And so oftentimes, donkeys were not owned by just one person. They were usually owned by two or three people, and they would take care of the donkey together. And so the owners of the donkey was probably sitting there on the steps of their house, and these strange men came up and untied it and started to walk off with it. But Jesus had made this arrangement. Jesus had this parade in mind in advance of it taking place. This was a spontaneous demonstration. Jesus needed it, intended it to happen. And the question is, well, why? Why was Jesus orchestrating this grand demonstration? It was certainly not because Jesus wanted to throw a party in his honor. But the interesting thing is that when Jesus caught his first glimpse of Jerusalem, he didn't high-five the disciples. He didn't jump up and down with joy. What did he do? He wept. This process was not frivolous. It was purposeful. It was not provoked by vanity, but by compassion and love. Why? Well, a couple things. First, it was his time. It was time for Jesus to do what he had come to earth to do. In verse 23, we see that the hour had come. Jesus was determined, or God was determining the time for this to take place, not man. Now, the Pharisees, the leaders, had previously decided that the time was unwise to make a move against Jesus during the Passover celebration. They felt it would cause a lot of turmoil if they did it during that time, but they were willing to wait until things kind of cooled down, but things changed. So why was it so important for Jesus to be arrested during Passover? It wasn't because there was a lot of people in town. It was because that was God's plan. God's plan for Jesus to die at the same time as all the other sacrificial lambs. And to understand the significance of this, we have to understand something about the Passover celebration. Most of us here probably understand it, know it, but the Passover was a yearly celebration commemorating the freeing of the Jewish people from slavery in Egypt. And on a night called Passover, God struck every firstborn child of the Egyptians. This devastating plague led to the release of the Jews from the bondage of slavery. And God told the Israelites to slaughter a lamb and take the blood of the lamb, apply it to the doorposts of their homes. The blood of the lamb would be recognized by the angel of death as protecting the firstborn child that lived within the home, and they would pass over the home. It was meant to be a picture that pointed to another lamb who would die in our place to free us from a much greater slavery, a slavery to sin and death. It is likely even that at the very time Jesus was dying on the cross, the lambs were being slaughtered for the Passover feast. He was the Lamb of God, taking on the sins of the world. And second, Jesus wanted it to be clear that this was a voluntary act. He could have simply laid low. He could have been consolatory. But they had no power over him. They could not take him until he allowed them to. And he knew that as soon as he reached Jerusalem, he knew what was laying before him. Betrayed, humiliated, suffering through torture, death. And yet he chose to go to Jerusalem. Such is the magnificent love of God. Such is the love of our Savior. Jesus was not an unwilling victim of a vicious plot. He was a willing sacrifice for all who would believe. And that leads us to the third point, which is the fact that this is a very practical message for each of us. Now, some of you probably wonder at times, how could God possibly love me? I'm really messed up. I make too many mistakes. Perhaps you failed him. You're ashamed that it's impossible for you to imagine that God could still care about you. And that's why today I think we need to look at this story with fresh eyes, this parade into Jerusalem. You see, Jesus is not surprised by our failures. He came to Jerusalem in order to deliver us from such things. He knows what you have done and wants to make you clean. He wants to set you free. So that's what we need to do. His invitation is very simple. Come to me, all you who are heavily burdened, and I will give you what? Rest. Maybe the question we need to ask ourselves today is, have we done that? Have we gone to Jesus and placed our burdens at his feet? Are you hiding from the very one who wants to love you more than you can ever imagine, more than anyone has ever loved you? Maybe it's time to stop hiding and start believing. We all see life as being kind of difficult right now. Perhaps we are still wondering, in the midst of all the pandemic and all the stuff that's going on, we want to know if God is really out there. Perhaps our things are painful for you right now, and you're even questioning if God loves you. If that is the case, look again with fresh eyes at this parade into Jerusalem. We realize that the Savior who gave his life for you loved you to the depths of love that is unfathomable. See him as he goes to the cross on our behalf and in your place. Realize, my friends, that his love is so great that you can be certain that he would not allow any needless suffering in your life. The trials that come at present, believe it or not, are purposeful and designed to lead you into something good. Perhaps you find that life is characterized by loneliness, a feeling that you have been forgotten. You see other people celebrate the Easter season and you sit at a table for one. It is possible that you walk around your house wondering if anyone would miss you if you were gone. Again, look at the parade and see with new eyes. Understand that when Jesus marched in Jerusalem, you were on his mind. His death, he willingly suffered. It was a sacrifice designed to make you a part of his family. You may feel alone today. You may feel abandoned and deserted and unimportant. But let me tell you something. You are significant. You are significant enough to the Savior for him to go to the cross on your behalf. He knows you and he loves you. How easy it is for us to talk about the love of God. How difficult it is to accept it. Do you understand that he went willingly to Jerusalem for you, for me? John writes, Jesus found a donkey, a young donkey, set upon it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey." This is a quote from the Old Testament book of Zechariah, Zechariah 9:9. We see it as a prediction that a king would ride into Jerusalem one day on a donkey. This declaration was made 550 years before Jesus paraded into Jerusalem. And at that time, Israel had no king. They were just returning to Israel after their Babylonian exile and captivity. So what does that mean to us? It is simply that the vital truth for daily living is this: God has a plan, and he's working on that plan. God's plan did not end with the coming of Christ. Yes, the world in which we live in is not what we think it should be or what we like it to be or what we want it to be, but it is not running out of control. God is not surprised by what is taking place in our society today. Certainly God is not pleased with what is happening, but he is never caught off guard. The Bible is clear that there is coming a day when Jesus will return, and this time he will not come as a humble servant, but he will come, return as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The declaration of our world does not, the decadence rather of our world does not surprise him. He told us it would come. God is not wringing his hands and wondering what to do. God is in control. Brothers and sisters in Christ, do you understand that things that are happening in your life right now are not out of control? Do you understand that God has a plan for you because you are significant and important in his eyes? I know certainly from personal experience that there have been times when I see what is going on in and around my life and I wonder, what is God trying to do? But I remember the verse that, part of the verses that we read this morning. At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. On that day, as Jesus was walking toward Jerusalem, the disciples were unaware of what God was doing. They missed the significance of the day. Only later did they come to see the hand of God and all that was taking place. And that may be true to us today, where we're so used to, just the routine. And we forget and we miss the significance. Every day we wake up is a significant day for us. It should never be just routine. Because every single day has been given to us by God, and therefore every single day is significant for us. Friends, the facts that you and I don't understand what is going on in our life doesn't mean that God is not at work. He has promised that he would lead everyone who believe in him to something that was ultimately good. Our promise is that God knows what he is doing. You may not understand it, but we can still trust him. In fact, God doesn't require us to understand him. He just asks us to trust him. The one thing we do understand is that the Lord wants us to entrust ourselves to him. And so the question for us is, are you willing to do so? Especially in this time of uncertainty. Especially during this time when we don't know how long this pandemic is going to last. We don't know how long we're going to be separated from each other. We don't know how long our families are going to have to suffer. Our work is going to suffer. How long we're going to be struggling with keeping our distance from our friends. As a pastor, this is killing me. It really is. It's very discouraging. But at the same time, I know that in the midst of this discouragement, God is going to do something phenomenal. We don't know what it is, but we have to believe in that. So as I wrap this up this morning, I want to speak to the people here and to the people watching. Because this happens when we get into a routine and we just want to just keep doing the same thing over and over again. We don't like change. The question is, are you coasting in your spiritual life? Have you taken the things of God for granted? Are you listening God's word but hearing nothing? Well, maybe it's time for you to read the story again of Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem with a fresh and pivotal account of how God has revealed his love to you. And maybe it's time that we face the fact that God is on the throne of life. He is in control, not us. Perhaps it's time that we are to bow before his throne and to give him the honor and praise that he desires and deserves. To remember that Jesus loves you. He faced a mob for you. He endured torture for you. He went to the cross for you. He went there so that you could be free, free from sin's addiction and free from the treadmill of futility, free to live. Have you responded to his invitation to be his? You may admire him, but are you willing to trust him? Are you willing to follow him, not just to church, but in your daily life? Are you willing to entrust yourself to him, even when the future is confusing, and yet believing God has a plan? Are you willing to serve him until that day when his plan on earth is fulfilled? These are the questions that I think we need to ask on Palm Sunday, to take a familiar or fresh look at the events. And who knows, it might surprise you what you see. It could change you forever. It could affect you to the point that you're willing to step out of the norm and just put all your trust in God. It's like learning to ride a bicycle. I got a brand new bicycle, a red bicycle, that my father gave me. He taught me how to ride the bike, and I remember how my hands were shaking, and I was tipping this way and tipping that way, and I was trying to keep my balance. My dad would be beside me all the way. And one day my friends came around and they were all riding their bikes, and I thought, well, I want to ride my bike too. And so I put it up next to the curb in front of our house, and I put my one foot, my left foot on the pedal and lifted off and put my right foot, just hoping I wouldn't fall over. And that was the day I stayed upright and I rode my bike down the road. Yes, later I got into an accident, chipped my tooth, but that's a whole different story, right? The fact is, I put my trust in my dad and in God that he would protect me. But first thing I had to do is take my foot off the curb and put it on the pedal and trust the process. And I hope that is the same for you today on this Palm Sunday. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray right now that we can come to know you in a mighty way this morning, that we can put our trust in you, our faith in you, that we can remember that everything we do is because of you, everything that we have in life is because of you, and that you have given us so much. And a lot of times we do take it for granted. A lot of times we get stuck in the routine of life. And we're afraid to step out of that routine. But I encourage everyone here today and those watching that you take a look at this story with fresh eyes, a fresh perspective, and you understand how much you're loved. Understand how much you are appreciated and how much you are significant to God. Live in that this week and the weeks to come. I pray this in your name and in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.